very much. Great to have you, and I hope you all had a truly wonderful Independence Day weekend. In spite of the heavy rain, and it was really heavy, we had a remarkable salute to America on the National Mall. Incredible. Standing on the steps of the great Lincoln Memorial and looking out on the crowds, these incredible, big, beautiful crowds, braving the weather all the way back to the Washington Monument, we celebrated freedom in all of its magnificence while saluting our great military. It was something really special. And I will say this, it was a wonderful day for all Americans. And based on its tremendous success, we're just making the decision, and I think we can say we've made the decision to do it again next year, and maybe we can say for the foreseeable future. As we celebrate our nation's founding, we're reminded once more of our profound obligation to protect America's extraordinary blessings for the next generation and many generations, frankly, to come. Among the heritage we must preserve is our country's incredible natural splendor. That is the shared obligation that brings us together today. We have some incredibly talented people that know environment and what we're doing probably better than any people on earth. From day one, my administration has made it a top priority to ensure that America is among the very cleanest air and cleanest water on the planet. We want the cleanest air, we want crystal clean water, and that's what we're doing, and that's what we're working on so hard. For this afternoon's event, we're pleased to be joined by Secretary Steve Mnuchin. Steve, thank you very much. David Bernhardt. David, thank you. Secretary Wilbur Ross. Thank you, Wilbur. Secretary Alex Azar. Alex.
Joy, can you hear President Trump speaking?
Yes. Not real clear, but I can hear it. But I don't hear well anyway.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Andrew Wheeler. Andrew, thank you. And Chair of the Council of Environmental Quality, Mary Neumutter. Thank you, Mary. Thank you very much. In a few moments, we'll hear an update on some of their very important work. Also with us are Senators Kevin Cramer, Steve Daines, John Barrasso. These are three great senators, I might add. Perhaps I'm a little prejudiced because I like them very much, but they're great senators. Thank you.
I hope you folks can hear. This is President Trump speaking from the White House about a month ago on the environment.
Cabinet secretaries will tell you from the very beginning, I've given them clear direction to focus on addressing environmental challenges so we can provide the highest quality of life to all Americans. In addition to clean air and clean water, that means being good stewards of our public lands, prioritizing cleanup of polluted lands that threaten our most vulnerable citizens and threaten them very dearly, and implementing pro-growth policies to unlock innovation and new technologies which improve American life and America's environment. So important. These are incredible goals that everyone in this country should be able to rally behind, and they have rallied behind, and they've rallied behind in a very Republican and Democrat way. I really think that's something that is bipartisan. For years, politicians told Americans that a strong economy and a vibrant energy sector were incompatible with a healthy environment. In other words, one thing doesn't go with the other, and that's wrong, because we're proving the exact opposite. A strong economy is vital to maintaining a healthy environment. When we innovate, produce, and grow, we're able to unleash technologies and processes that make the environment better while reshoring, and so importantly, you look at reshoring production all the way, taking it away from foreign polluters and back to to American soil. The previous administration waged a relentless war on American energy. We can't do that. They sought to punish our workers, our producers, and manufacturers with ineffective global agreements that allow the world's worst polluting countries to continue their practices. These radical plans would not make the world cleaner. They would just make and put Americans out of work, and they put them out of work rapidly. They moved production to foreign countries with lower standards. Our companies were forced to do that, and they didn't want to do that. And they drive up the price of gas and electricity at home and drive it to levels that are...
Good evening, folks. We will start the prayer call in 1 minute. I apologize. I know it's hard to hear the video I'm playing, but I'm in Mexico tonight and dealing with some technology that we hopefully will get through the call, but we'll start the call in a minute. Thank you.
We're doing numbers that nobody's seen before. Nobody believes what we're doing and what we're producing electricity and other things for. Punishing Americans is never the right way to produce a better environment or a better economy. We've rejected this failed approach and we're seeing incredible results. Since the election, we have created more than 6 million new jobs. Nobody would have believed that. I don't think anybody. If I would have said that during the campaign, it wouldn't have been a pretty picture the next day as I read the headlines. 6 million new jobs. Unemployment has reached the lowest rate in a half a century. And we have more people working today than have ever worked in the history.
We're just waiting for a few more to join us, and we'll start the call in 1 minute. Thank you.
Which is unthinkable. If you go back 3 years and you said 160 million people, they would say unthinkable. We're unlocking American energy, and the United States is now a net exporter of clean, affordable American natural gas. We're exporting all over. And today, the United States is ranked, listen to this, number one in the world.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Prayers for 45.com call for Sunday night. It's a beautiful night in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. I'm blessed to be spending some time with my family. Hope everybody had a great Labor Day, and welcome back. I want to do a quick sound check here. Christine, can you hear me pretty good here?
I hear you great.
All right. Thank you. All right. Let me find Kimberly and bring Kimberly on the line here. 1 minute, folks. Diane, is that you calling in?
I am here.
That is you, Diane, correct?
Yes, that is me.
All right. I'm going to call upon you to get us through a quick prayer. I'm not sure if Kimberly's on the line. I'm going to wait for a text. We'll give it another minute. And then Christine will do our second prayer tonight. We'll do our two prayers as always. Let's see if Kimberly's come on the line. Kimberly, text me if you're on the line. All right. Well, we'll get started here. Diane, how are you tonight?
Yeah. I'm doing well. I'm doing well, and you're in Mexico.
I am.
Lovely.
I'm been blessed the last few years to spend a lot of time here and kind of make it my home away from home. But my heart is in the United States with everybody. And, of course, I spent a lot of time on the beach here talking about our president. There are a lot of Americans here, a lot of Canadians, talking with a New Zealander today. She actually worked in New Zealand news. She was a news producer. Very interesting conversations. And of course, New Zealand is one of the Five Eyes countries. It was actually involved in the spying.
Yes, they were.
Trump. So some really good connections there. And always as you know, Diane, when you travel, you meet people of all kinds and all different mindsets. But I'll tell you, I do believe the world is slowly coming together on the same page. Might take some time. We have a lot of stubborn people that want to kick and drag and scream and don't want to come along with us, but I don't think they have an option once things turn the corner here. So, Diane, could you lead us in a prayer for President Trump? I'm afraid Kimberly must be tied up.
I will be honored to do that, and I just want to say that I absolutely hope that you are right. And I heard today that it's just in very short order that we're going to be receiving the full IG report. And in my heart, I just really believe that's going to turn a lot of people into maybe not immediate believers, but at least searching for a truth that they haven't wanted to believe before. So with that, I'll just say thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you are and all that you do and all that you bless us with. We just thank you for this group of people that is so reverent to you, so diligent in bringing themselves before you, because in your word you say that where two or more gathered, they will be heard. And everyone, Lord, here tonight believes that with their whole being. So we look to you continually, knowing that we're not to beg, and we're not here begging, but we are just claiming that you've already taken care of the safety and laid out the purpose for this man that you've put in the way to interrupt what was going on in our country. And we just thank you for him. We thank you for his courage. We thank you for his wife's courage, his family's courage, how they stand together united to cover each other. We thank you for the whole military sector, for the intellect behind all of Q that has all of the people. I wouldn't even begin to know where to start to thank whom and where they have come from, Lord, but we do. You know who they are, and we thank you for all of them that have done so much work in research, in support of our presidential family, and for all the prayer warriors that know something huge is coming, Lord, but we minimize sometimes that all I can do is pray, but Lord, that's the most we can do. And we know that through your word. So I just lift up President Trump. I just ask for his continued wisdom, his continued safety. I ask for a special blessing upon his decisions and how he rolls them out. I would ask just that he is clear in his communication, that as this unfolds, that people would understand that this is not a man that lacks intelligence or one that is purposefully hurting people, but that there are times when things just have to be done to unravel the evil that's there in front of him. So I just thank you. I thank you for all that you have orchestrated. We talk about 4D chess. You're much deeper than that. And we thank you for that, and that you have given all of this in a time such as this, that we are blessed to be able to watch it unfold and to see you do your work. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for what you're doing, for where you're taking us. We own the responsibility of what's coming our way. We own that. We're ready for that. We're excited for that. And as these changes come about, Lord, let us be diligent in our efforts of what you would have us to do, and let us be kind in the face of the ones that are going to be in shock, angry, and numb. So let us be kind and not arrogant and not haughty about the fact that when you've unraveled all that you want to be done, that we will be there to be supportive and loving. We just thank you in your precious and wonderful Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Diane. Thank you for that impromptu, wonderful prayer. Awesome. Awesome. You say so many things that resonate, I'm sure, with everybody here. And you talked about the courage of our president. He made the speech that's called the speech that will get Trump elected. And in it he said, "I take all the slings and arrows for you."
And yes, he does.
Boy, did he mean what he said. I, when I heard that the first time, I thought, well, that was just good speech writing. And it was. It was very good speech writing. But as we look back, it was just prolific, written to be executed and played out as he has done so.
And Scotty, can you imagine, I mean, have you ever, I'm sure you probably have, just closed your eyes and imagined walking in that man's shoes? There's no way. I'd be a bumble of nerves and a ball of tears in every minute of the day with what he takes for us. And I'm amazed by it. So
yeah. Well, I do believe God only anointed one man for this time, and that's our president.
Whew. Yeah.
So, Christine, are you there? Can I bring you in?
I certainly am. How are you?
I'm great. You're going to lead our second prayer. I want to bring a little context to the rule of law today before you give your prayer. So, you know, we all do some great thinking. We all have a place we can think clearly and try to think things through. And I was thinking today, as my place of thinking just happened to be on a beach, and my father said he did his best thinking on an airplane. I know someone who says they do their best thinking in the bathroom. Wherever that may be, I was in my spot today, and it occurred to me that as it relates to the rule of law, of course, the one big high crime that we're looking at in these courts right now is the attempted coup of our president. No doubt we've learned that the Obama DOJ and intel agencies cooked up a pretty big and elaborate scheme with a lot of people involved. And if you listen to real journalists cover this, I'm going to use John Solomon and Sarah Carter, two people who have covered this from the beginning. They happen to use Sean Hannity's platform to get the word out. Now, why would they use Sean Hannity's platform? Because he has the largest audience on cable news. It's that simple. Mm. So Hannity has been the platform. They have unraveled this unbelievable attempted coup. And they refer to this, particularly Hannity, as the crime of the century. This is an unprecedented government crime for the ages. And I thought to myself, what is it really, like, the crime of the ages of all time? This is just the first time they're caught in our lifetime. That's all it is. There has been, this has been going on, I thought back, as recent as 9/11, but what about the Kennedy assassination? Nobody served justice for that. Nobody. That the men who were patsies and put front and center for that were not the men that planned his assassination. We know who they were. We don't have to get into that. Our CIA was involved, the men around the CIA. Kennedy was the Trump of his time, and they needed to get rid of him. So this rule of law reset is long overdue. From 9/11 to the Kennedy assassination, you can even go back to the Lincoln assassination if you want. Our government has been cooking up schemes and scams our entire lives. This is just the first time something of this magnitude has been laid out from its origins to its current state where, as you mentioned, Diane, the IG report, the the Huber report, the Durham report, they're all going to spell it out. And with that said, Christine, we know it's time for the reset of the law. We know it's coming, so we're going to continue to pray for it.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And there's a I wanted to bring up that today I saw the march to the U.S. consulate in Hong Kong. I don't know if you got to see that, but thousands of people with signs that said, President Trump, liberate us. They were carrying American flags, waving American flags, and they were singing our national anthem.
Did that just stop your heart? It just stopped my heart.
Yes. Oh, yes. And I you know, I just cried.
Yes.
I cried.
Yes.
Because, you know, here's the thing about our world, and this is the thing about God. Those people that were marching, they know all about freedom and liberty because they don't have it. But you know what they do have? They have the design of God within them, the law of God that says, this is what you are meant to be. This is where you, this is the calibration. And so as they move through these motions of following their natural and God-given lawful design, they are making their way to seeing what examples of that there are in the world. And the light of God, as it speaks of in Isaiah 60:19, for you the sun will no longer be a light of day, nor will the shining of the moon give you light, for God will become an eternal light, and God will be your beauty. This is going to come down, this is going to be something that actually dawns on people as they move closer and closer to seeing that what they always thought was so is not so. And the things that are so much better than what they were told. The thing about the media and all of these things like Comey and all of this disinformation, and also not just disinformation, but the programming of people to give up their way and their God-given right to think and to actually be discerning. You know, in Luke 17:2, it says, it would be more advantageous for him it says here, then he said to his disciples, it is unavoidable that causes for stumbling should come. Nevertheless, woe to the one through whom they come. It would be more advantageous for him if a millstone were hung from his neck and he were thrown into the sea than for him to stumble one of these little ones. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother commits a sin, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. This is going to be a time where so much of this is brought to light. And as we move into this prayer, the second prayer of our wonderful call, what we know for those in Hong Kong, what we know for those all over the world that are hungering to match their natural, God-given, lawful design with that which is available in the world, and which our dear President Donald J. Trump is so courageously holding up as a light for us, is that what we know, God, is that this is your intention for all of humanity. And our work here is to simply be in calibration with that, with each other, and to hold tight through this, because all of it is going to be brought out into the open. And when it does, all of those who have squawked the loudest, just like this Deborah Messing situation, Eric McCormick, you know, all of this is going, and it's ironic because they want to unmask the donors, but really what's going to be unmasked is the destruction and where it came from. And so, dear God, we just absolutely thank you. I don't know where I would be if I did not have wonderful people like on this call and all of those who are in the media that are doing the work. I don't know where I'd be, but I thank God. I thank God that I'm not marching to the U.S. consulate in Hong Kong, that I have that freedom right here, right now, and I know that it is my responsibility and my joy to be that light in the world, too. Thank you, God, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, Christine. You know, the calibration is so spot on. And that is what, as you said, we all need to be in calibration. But I want to share two little anecdotes from the past week that will demonstrate the world is coming into calibration. We are coming into the same place at the same time for the same reason. My first little anecdote, we have a handyman here in Mexico. I had occasion to go to his house to help him go get some things that we needed. And he said, hey, ride with me to my house. We got out to his house. He was very proud. He took me out in his backyard. He showed me a wall he's built. Yes, a 43-year-old Mexican man with a family is building a wall. And I said, Kuvan, what's with the wall? By the way, he's got a lot of property and not a lot around him. He owns some land, and yes, he has neighbors, but he's got a fair amount of privacy with the trees as it is. I said, what's with the wall? He said, just like President Trump said, we got to protect ourselves. This is a Mexican national. He spent a couple years in the U.S. in Chicago. He spent a couple years in Phoenix. But at 43, he's probably spent 36 years of his life in Mexico. In the last 15, he's been here. And he's building a wall inspired by our president. And he says it's good.
That's right.
Our president has it right. He says, your president, he said. Our president, to him it was your president, has it right. We need to protect our family, and the wall will stop intruders. That's my first story. My second story plays right back to you, Christine. You used the word discernment. I mentioned I met a New Zealand woman who is here now, living part-time in Puerto Vallarta. She was a news director. She spent a lot of time editing, but she was responsible for what they call packages. When you watch the news, when the anchor is talking, they generally cut away to video. That video is called the package. So she edited the package for the anchors to speak to. And she said what's happened in the last many years because of the media is that the media has caused people to lose discernment. They've lost their way. They cannot discern truth from fiction anymore. And so, Christine, you're so spot on with discernment and calibration. I mean, I'm thousands of miles away from you, and I am in sync with everything you've said.
Oh, well, thank you, Scotty. And one more thing about that you were mentioning, it made me think of this, Psalms 94:20, can a throne of corruption be allied with you while it is framing trouble in the name of the law? They make vicious attacks on the righteous one and condemn the innocent one to death, but God will become a secure refuge for me. My God is my rock of refuge. And so, as you can see, more and more people are waking up and speaking up. And these people in Hong Kong, let me tell you something. It is now, they have now had four times the amount of incarcerations in the last couple of months than they have in 20 years because people are brave enough to speak up and say, no, this does not match my design of God inside of myself. And I'll tell you, if they can do that, and if our president can put his life on the line every day, and 9/11 is coming up here, if all these first responders and all these police officers and firefighters and all these volunteers and families of those people and our military, if they can do that, we certainly, certainly, certainly can bear this. And what a joy it will be to know, like to see the outplay and the demonstrative way in which none of this is a waste. It is all for the glory of God and also for the glory that God wants us to have.
Awesome. Just awesome, Christine. You know, we are living in a global village. And that term I first heard from Ted Turner himself. He had a party. I don't know if I should admit this, but I've given CNN a lot of money over the years in the course of my business as advertising and sponsorship deals go. And so we get invited to events, and my staff and I were at an event many, many, many years ago, back in the 80s. And Ted Turner said, folks, I started CNN for the global village. And that term fascinated me, and over the years it's played out to my understanding today is we're all one. We're all living in the same world together, and with technology and information flow, we truly have a global village. So here we are today in Hong Kong, the Hong Kongers marching with American flags and singing Trump. We have yellow vesters in France who marched with American flags protesting against Macron. We have Mexicans on border towns in America. They are Mexicans and live on the Mexico side of the border, praising our president and begging him to finish the wall because they understand what it means to their family safety and security. We have Viktor Orban in Hungary. We have Ukraine. We have people all over the world. Oh, I should never forget Brexit. It's happening. It's coming the end of October.
Yes, it is.
The people in UK are united. So look what's happening in this global village. We are all calibrating and using discernment to come together. And I think that's a great note to end on. For me, and Diane or Christine, I'll let you add to that if you'd like to close on something.
Well, I'd just like to say, with Christine brought up 9/11, there was a documentary on it last night on the History Channel. And my heart was just palpitating at the end because it was clear that after the airplane hit the building, then, you know, it was still standing in all its majesty. And then all of a sudden, these time goes by and boom, you know, the implosion happens. And I don't know that you could see so many magazines with the face of John F. Kennedy Jr. and all of these things, you know, that are coming. They're coming, and it's frustrating, and it's a long wait, and it's we want it now, but we are of one mind and bound together. We are not only being heard, have been heard, and claiming our rights. So I'm excited about what's to come.
Amen. And Diane, we all believe our president, do we not?
Yes, absolutely.
So I'm going to take us all back to a debate where President Trump looked at Jeb Bush and he told him, looked him right in the eye and said, if I become president, I'm going to release the 200 pages on the 9/11 report your brother would not release.
Yeah.
Jeb Bush did his typical, you know, mealy mouth, wrinkling. He melted. He melted into the podium he was standing at. He didn't know what to say. So that too is calibrating into focus, isn't it? 9/11.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Diane, Christine. Great conversation. Great context. Remember, you are all on this call participating in a great experiment. We're recording these calls, and we're going to put them into produce content at a later date around these calls and add some music and some voiceovers and some dramatic stuff to memorialize this period in history, and I thank you all for being such a big part of this. So let me close with a simple prayer of gratitude by Kelly Mahoney. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings you have bestowed on our lives. You have provided us with more than we could ever have imagined. You have surrounded us with people who always look out for us. You have grown our family and our friends who bless us every day with kind words and actions. Well, not all of our family, but okay. They lift me up in ways that keep my eyes focused on you and make our spirits soar. Also, thank you, Lord, for keeping us safe. You protect us from those things that seem to haunt others. You help us make better choices. And if you have provided us with advisors that help us with the very difficult decisions, we accept with gratitude. You speak to us in so many ways. We will always know you are here. Lord, we're thankful we were here tonight to pray for President Trump. We're thankful for our prayer leaders, Diane and Christine. We're thankful for all of our other prayer leaders and all of the other folks on this call tonight. Lord, we're so grateful for keeping those around us safe and loved. We hope that you provide us with the ability and sense to show that every day how much we all matter. We hope that you give us the ability to give thanks for the kindness that has been provided to all of us in our daily lives. We're just so grateful for all of your blessings in life, Lord. We pray that you remind us of just how lucky we are, that you never allow us to forget to show gratitude in prayer and return kind acts. Thank you, Lord, in your name, amen. And thank you, Kelly Mahoney, for that beautiful prayer. Well, folks, thank you for bearing with the little rough start. Technology can be a grind on the road, but we made it through on an iPad. And go out, hang up the phone, give somebody a hug, and we'll see you on Thursday. Have a great night. Bye-bye.